Hey, Mike, did you see the latest hashtag fun thing on Twitter?
Oh, yeah, the what game title is the name of your junk?
Yeah, here's my list.
Oh, God.
Grim Fandango.
That doesn't even make sense. Kind of, I guess.
Mass Effect.
Yeah, that's funny.
Skyrim. Knuckles Chaotix.
These kind of make sense, not enough.
Rise.
Rise.
Brutal Legend.
Mm-hmm.
Diablo.
Wow.
And finally, Epic Mickey.
Epic Mickey might be the best one.
That's why I put it at the end.
Yeah. I have no idea. What if I was like, mine is Mega Man 3, and people are like, what, why? And I'm just like, acting like they don't get it. What if I act like it was like a joke? I was like, yeah, you just don't get it. Mine is... mine is Battle of Middle Earth to the Witch King of Agmar. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for January 16, 2015. This is Mike Minali, joined by my brother AJ.
Hello.
Hello. So, how's it going over there?
Oh, good. It's cold.
That's good. You have a couple more months till you have twins, so that's exciting.
Yeah, I have the stroller now.
Oh, hey. Yeah, the double stroller. Huh? Are those harder to get?
No. Actually, the two seats snap into it. There's an accessory for the second car seat.
Fancy. So, let's see. We got some news to talk about, thanks to Nintendo and NPDs. Then we'll talk about some of the games we've been playing. Not much coming out, so not much to talk about the releases. So news and what we've been playing is pretty much what we're doing. We've really nailed this podcast. I remember back in the day we used to try to come up with so many extra segments.
Hey, Mike, you know what segment we should bring back right now?
Oh, the Great American Age Guy Gaming Quiz?
No, even better.
What, the best ever?
No, even better. Your favorite. Come on. Mike.
Role play?
We could once again talk about the Rock Band DLC of the week.
No, why? What do you mean we can? Why?
They released three new songs.
Oh my
you
God.
Didn't see?
No. Wait, what? No, I don't even want to know. our listeners are curious. Too bad. We're not finding out. That was the bane of my existence in the early days of this podcast. That's how old our podcast is. Rock
Foo
Band
Fighters.
Used to be relevant. All right.
Avengefold 7. I forget the third
Shut
one.
Shut up. Let's talk about Nintendo.
Okay.
They had their Nintendo Direct. Did you love these Nintendo Directs? You know there's always going to be things happening.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's like a little mini E3 that happens every quarter.
So it was kind of spilled the day before, and really, we probably could have all guessed. The big thing at this Nintendo Direct was that the new 3DS is finally coming to America.
Let's clarify, the new 3DS XL.
Right, which some people are upset about. It doesn't bother me.
I don't think these people have used the 3DS XL yet.
Well, some people...
Because it's a lot better than the regular 3DS.
Some people
3DS.
Just don't like it. Some people have small hands. I guess the other thing, you know, the regular 3DS XL or new 3DS, I mean, has the changeable faceplates, which...
Yeah, that is a bummer, but
whatever.
The XL doesn't, which is weird.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't know why I can't just have that. You know what it doesn't have?
What's that, Ash guy?
Power cord.
Yeah, in a kind of odd move, shipping without the power cord.
Yeah, they've done this before in other regions, and I don't know what side of it I think is dumber. Because on the one hand, it's like, you have one. But on the other hand, it's like, just put it in there. You need it. They try to say it's like, oh, well, you know, we don't want to charge you for something you probably don't need. How much does that cost them? They sell for $10.
I mean, the reason why it's annoying is because it's a proprietary charging thing anyways. If it was one thing, some sort of like micro USB charger.
Exactly, that you do just have lying around everywhere. But that's just such an odd thing. It's very Nintendo.
Yeah, right. It's from the company that brought you the Game Boy Advance SP without a audio jack.
Headphone jack, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God. So, anyways, 3DS XL coming in two colors, red, black. And also the Majora's Mask dish, which sold out immediately.
Of course.
Right. But coming out February 13th, I believe, and they also announced Majora's Mask 3D coming out the same day, which is a pretty cool.
I thought it was coming out like a week before or something weird.
You're wrong. It's coming out the same exact day.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah, same exact day. So, which is cool because that's kind of a neat like relaunch game, you know? Because uh-huh. It's not one of the games that needs it to run, but it's going to kind of show off that C stick pretty well using it for camera. Hell, you have better camera control than you did in the original Nintendo 64 game with the C buttons. So
actually, I got a code for a demo. I didn't play it yet for Monster Hunter 4 as well. So that's another game I feel like will immensely benefit.
Oh yeah, from having just the like C-stick. Yeah, I kind of want to go back to Snake Eater 3D too once I get the new 3D.
That'd be true.
I mean, personally, I'm really excited to grab one of these. I already have mine pre-ordered. I was a big proponent of the 3DS since I played it at E3 2011, whatever that was.
Yeah.
But even back when a lot of people were skeptical, I love this device. This seems to be like, this is everything that I thought was wrong with it in the first place. Missing an analog nub, even if it's not quite a nub, people say it works really well. And the two extra shoulder buttons. Plus the face tracking 3D, which apparently works really well. It's like at this point.
I'm curious to try that.
Right. Like with all this stuff, it's almost like the only, when they make a successor to the 3DS, it's like the only thing that could really possibly benefit from is going to be better hardware. Maybe clickable thumb pads, but yeah, it's the 3DS is looking pretty good. This buys the system some extra lifespan too, huh?
At least 2 to 3 years. Yeah,
I remember a while ago you were trying to say that you thought the system was dying soon, and I fought you.
Well,
that.
This is like kind of a soft update. I mean, Xenoblade will only play on this.
Kind of, yeah. Well, it's kind of uncharted territory because they've done stuff like this all the time when they make the new system. But not quite this drastic. Like, the DSi was a pretty big leap from the original DS, but this is, this is slightly different hardware. Not just the processor, I believe, really, but still. So you're going to be picking one up?
Yeah, well, it is a week before my birthday, so I'm debating what to do there.
I'm sure someone can help you out. All right.
Hooray!
Well, I didn't say me. You have a wife. That's your wife.
She's going to tell me I have babies coming.
The other exciting news, especially for me, was, and this is what they let off with, was the announcement of new Fire Emblem. First off, I love that Fire Emblem stock has risen, so it's like the opening thing of this now. So it's by the Fire Emblem Awakening team. It looks a lot like that game, because everyone has feet now, so.
Hey.
Once again, up to there.
Upgrades.
So, right, so very much kind of the Fire Emblem Awakening successor or victory lap kind of a thing. The only real difference is that it has like more of an Eastern flair just looking at the trailer than most Fire Emblems have, at least the ones I played. Most Fire Emblems usually kind of more in that high fantasy, almost like English fantasy kind of a thing, where this looks a bit more ninja-y, samurai-y, to put it in way. Uh-huh. But man, I mean, Fire Emblem Awakening was so good. I'm totally on board with the next Fire Emblem from those guys. You don't have anything you want to say about Fire Emblem?
I'm excited for it.
Yeah.
You covered it.
I did cover it. What else? They had a new trailer for Monster Hunter. Not Monster Hunter, Xenoblade. What's that called? Xenoblade Chronicles X? Is that the name of the sequel?
I think so.
Yeah, for Wii U, that looks pretty. I'm really excited to play that 3DS version because I barely played the original one on Wii.
I played a good chunk of it, and then something came out, and I also, don't like playing Wii games.
Yeah, and Iggy, you have such a penchant for beating JRPGs.
I know, so many.
I remember you made a big deal, this is the one I'm going to beat.
Yeah,
not quite so much there. What else? Did Nintendo do anything else crazy on their thing?
More Amiibos.
Oh, a couple things. The Amiibos were big. There's a fourth wave of the Smash Brothers ones, but the interesting thing is that they announced the first wave of Amiibos that aren't directly based off of the Smash Brother poses, and these are ones designed to work specifically with Mario Party 10.
Yeah, it's interesting. This is goofy though, because they said you can use your other one, but you have to wipe its data. You can't go freely between Smash Brothers and Mario Party.
I'm sure Nintendo and their cheapness didn't put a whole ton of memory on each little Amiibo.
I know, but doesn't that kind of defeat the whole point that, this is my Mario, and it's going to do all this stuff? That's how they kind of sold it.
Yeah, kind of. But hey, Those things are selling well, apparently, which we'll get into. Other big thing that I almost forgot about is that Wii games are now on the Wii U as digital downloads. Not quite Virtual Console. I don't know why it's not in the Virtual Console brand. It's basically that kind of a thing.
Well, so I got Super Mario Galaxy 2.
Yeah, well, let me say it. So, yeah, the games Mario Galaxy 2 is out now. Punch-Out and Metroid Prime Trilogy are coming. Metroid Prime Trilogy is a hard game to get. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's cool.
And what surprised me is how reasonably priced Mario Galaxy is. It's normally $20, but on the first week it's $10.
Yeah, so kind of a no-brainer, really, because that's an amazing game.
So, yeah, you got it.
Yeah, so, I mean, the reason it's not Virtual Console, I guess, is because it's not virtual. Like, it's still using that, like, Wii system on a chip that exists inside the Wii U that allows disc-based Wii games to play. All it is just, like, somehow, like, the system has some trickery going where it shows up on the Wii menu and it just launches directly into the game without going to the regular Wii menu at all. It's like, it's not high-def. It goes back down to 480p. It still accessed the save file I had from Galaxy 2 on my Wii U from playing your copy, because I actually never owned my own copy of Galaxy 2. I just played yours.
Weird.
So, like, it was all the same stuff. And then the big difference now is when you play it, it can play on the gamepad screen. And the gamepad actually has IR blasters in it, so you don't need a TV at all. Like, you can point a Wii remote at the gamepad screen without, and that kind of is also your sensor bar, and you play it.
Weird.
They said that in any games that do support the gamepad will be able to use the Wii U, or not gamepad, God, so many fucking controllers.
Anything
that uses a pro controller can use the gamepad as its controller.
Classic controller, actually, I think, is what you mean.
What did I call it? Pro. No, that's also a Wii U controller. Jesus. Well, there's a classic pro controller. God damn it.
Oh, God.
God damn it. Anyway, it's still kind of janky feeling, because, like, when you're done playing the game, if you hit home and then select the Wii menu, it just resets your console.
Right.
So, I mean, it's cool that it does all this. It's just, like, it really feels like someone had this idea last week.
Yeah. Hey, it's there.
I mean, I'm glad it's there. It's better. It's, especially, like, for Metroid Prime Trilogy, which you can't really get. Mm-hmm. It's
so
cool for that.
So what other Wii games would you like to see on there? The two Zeldas. Twilight Princess would be interesting to go back to now.
Yeah, you may as well.
Can you play that on the Wii without the motion controls? Because, I mean, it was available for the GameCube without them.
Right, no, I've only ever played the Wii version with motion controls.
Yeah.
I like Skyward Sword quite a bit, too, so I'm cool with that coming out again.
Yeah, Skyward Sword made sense with the motion controls, whereas Twilight Princess, I feel like going back to that now, that stuff would feel kind of dumb.
Well, because they're definitely half-baked. Like,
it wasn't
Skyward Sword was cool because the sword was one-to-one in Twilight Princess. You were just basically waggling the Wii remote to simulate pressing the A button. It wasn't really doing anything.
Right. But besides those, I mean, Mario gets kind of funny because Mario Galaxy and Zelda are, like, the big ones.
Yeah, like, there's no point to me in, like, putting Mario Kart Wii on there.
Or, like, Smash Brothers Brawl. Or, like,
right.
The four Mario parties that came out for it. Maybe weird things like Zack and Wiki and stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't think we need that either. I'm sure they'll put, like, new Super Mario Brothers Wii on there because people will buy that. Mm-hmm. Or Kirby's Epic Yarn.
Yeah.
Beyond that, I don't really know. There's not a ton of Wii games. Like, we should play that one again.
Kind of interesting. All right, then. Okay, so let's move on from that. Get to the MPDs.
All right, so, again, Microsoft won the month.
Yeah.
So much so that even though they're I'll combine two stories here. So even though their temporary price tag of $349, which let them win November, December, ended, 12 days ago?
Yeah.
It's back. They decided to drop the price again, temporarily, with no end in sight.
I think this is permanent. They have to now. I think they kind of shot themselves in the foot.
They basically, their reasoning was that now that we have all these new Xbox customers, we want them to, like, be able to spread the word and word of mouth and get their friends to buy it, so they need to have the same price that their friend had.
Yeah, you can't raise
the price. I think it's true. Like, it was so cheap for so long that it was too long to be a sale, you know?
Yeah.
It was 2 months. See, that's not a sale.
Now, last week when I made a prediction, you put a gun in my head and say, make a prediction for 2015, I said that Xbox One was going to beat PlayStation 4. It's because of stuff like this. It's not necessarily because the one system is better than the other, or vice versa. Someone else told me this, and I think it's kind of true, that Microsoft really cares about beating Sony. It's not necessarily to them about making a profit. They it really matters to them that they are number one. That's why they do stunts like this temporary price drop. I think Sony likes being number one. Everyone likes being number one. I don't think they would ever have made that move. I don't think it ultimately kills them if the Xbox One is number one and they're also doing fine. Hmm. Whereas, you know, and it's interesting because we don't really know how much this really cost them to drop the price $50 this soon. But I mean, you know, let's not forget the system was $500 a year ago.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So it's kind of big. I don't know. It makes me wonder. So go ahead. What were you going to say next?
All right. So your top games of December. Mm-hmm. No surprise, Call of Duty at the number one spot.
Call of Duty keeps on trucking.
Yep, then Grand Theft Auto 5.
No more surprise. Yeah, Seth, then, back up there.
Then Madden.
Man, please keep shocking me.
Yeah, that's why, you know, that's what,
yeah, like people make fun of,
like,
yeah.
Oh, they should take a year off. This is why they don't. It's still the number three selling game of the month.
There's one interesting one. Keep going, though. At least I think.
Smash Brothers was number four.
Yes, see, Smash Brothers.
This includes
big.
Wii U and 3DS.
Smash Bros. Is very big for Nintendo.
NBA 2K15.
That series has been doing. It seems like that series the last few years has like been doing really well. It's like almost getting on right to those Madden levels.
Yeah, yeah. You had Minecraft. Then you have Far Cry 4. And this is kind of surprising, but maybe not, is Just Dance 2015. Yeah, then yeah. Destiny, and then FIFA 15.
Okay, now.
Now we have also.
Wait a second, wait. Oh, before you move on from that, what's missing from this list? What perennial annual franchise?
Assassin's Creed.
Assassin's Creed's not on that list. Could it be that the whole bug thing and the combination of maybe people getting tired of it actually mattered? Because I'm almost a little surprised, almost a little, like, proud, but not maybe I'm proud, proud of the word, but man. Assassin's Creed, you can go back to every other December. I would, for the last 4 years, I would guarantee you that Assassin's Creed, whatever came out that year, was on that list.
Yeah.
Even when it came out in October. That's always been a huge franchise, and for Unity to not be on the top 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They can't be happy about that.
All of a sudden, Far Cry is a bigger franchise than Assassin's Creed now. What?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You look at it that way.
Just Dance?
One had game-breaking glitches, and one didn't.
I'm going to Google 2014 December. I mean 2013 December MPDs now.
While you do that, I will read the top 10 games of the year MPD.
Ooh.
Yes, because it is no surprise. Call of Duty at the top again, followed by Madden, followed by Destiny. Then Grand Theft Auto, Minecraft, Smash Brothers, NBA 2K15, Watch Dogs, FIFA 15. And then Call of Duty Ghosts.
That's
so
funny.
It's a Call of Duty sandwich. The year 2014.
Would you like to hear last year's 2013's December top 10?
Please.
One is Call of Duty Ghosts. Two is Battlefield 4.
Oh wow.
Three is Just Dance. So Just Dance is taking down a few pegs this year. Four is Madden. Five NBA. So things kind of fall in line. Six Assassin's Creed. Four Black Flag.
Wow.
Yeah, 7 Grand Theft Auto 5, then Lego Marvel Super Heroes, FIFA, and Skylanders. Apparently, well, Disney and okay, go ahead.
Let me play devil's advocate for a second. It's cheating, but if you were to combine the two Assassin's Creed games, does it crack the top 10 then, I wonder?
I don't know. Maybe, but like you said, it's cheating. Well, yeah. Then let's go back to December 2012 when there wasn't two next-gen consoles. Let me see if I can get that up.
Okay.
Assassin's Creed 3 was definitely ranked November.
What a wonderful phrase.
Assassin's Creed 3 was the fourth best-selling game December 2012. So Call of Duty, because this also Call of Duty was number one. So hey, I actually look at that. I actually speculated, found my research, and look at that. I need to pitch a story to GamesBeat about the fall. Yeah, because this is hot shit. If you're reading this, you're one of my fellow game journalists. Don't you dare jump on this.
Well, they're not reading it. They're listening to it, so they're going to get you on a technicality.
Mm-hmm. All right, go ahead.
That's it.
Oh.
So yeah, games were sold.
Well, that's good. What did I? It was what, number 6, Assassin's Creed 4.
Yeah.
Hey, what have you been playing?
I was gonna say, quit doing your research.
Hey, I got jobs, Ben.
Yeah, yeah, you got mouths to feed and bills to pay. I want to start off with WWE Immortals.
Did you play this?
I did.
So,
it's honestly, it's so bizarre a concept that it's actually brilliant in its execution.
It's basically Mortal Kombat.
The conceit of this game is it's made by NetherRealm Studios, guys who make, you know, the new Mortal Kombat and Injustice Gods Among Us. And apparently this is pretty much a reskin in some ways of the Injustice game they did for iOS. Very simple controls. You're just tapping the screen for light attacks, swiping for heavy attacks. You don't control any movement. You just have to tap in rhythm to do a combo, and if you do it right, you'll, like, finish the combo with a swipe. And then you have 3 bars you build up at the bottom to do your super moves. And, like, your characters are cards that you have to level up, and you have to get, like, level 20 before you can do, like, your stage 3, which is, like, usually the finisher for that wrestler.
Yeah.
It'll, seems like it'll take you a long time to get level 20.
It's free to play, right?
You're
supposed to pay to make that go faster. Okay.
So, when you start the game, there's this, like, kind of motion comic cutscene with no explanation of how we got to this point. Bray Wyatt and the Authority have fought their way to some sort of, like, obsidian lantern. Because, you know, Bray Wyatt has his lantern. Well, this one's purple, and it was in, like, a treasure chest. So Bray Wyatt is, like, triumphantly holding this lantern while Triple H and Stephanie are kind of gloating behind him. But they turn on him, and they take the lantern for their own nefarious purposes, but they were rash in its use and didn't know how to control it, and they opened a portal to multiple dimensions where the WWE superstars are superheroes and mythological creatures and gods and goddesses, and now all these worlds have combined, and all these versions of the WWE superstars are now fighting each other. So you have, like, The Rock, who is actually a rock golem, and because he's the most electrifying man in sports entertainment, he's an electric rock golem.
Of course.
And then there's, like, regular Daniel Bryan, but then there's, like, this weird man-goat version of Daniel Bryan.
So you can't fight, it's just regular Daniel Bryan.
Right, and, like, there's Authority Triple H, and there's King of Kings Triple H, and then there's regular Undertaker, and the Undertaker as a necromancer, and then Paige is like some weird raven witch, and it's just so goofy, but it's kind of fun for it.
Do you kind of wish that they just took this concept and made an actual 2D fighting game out of it?
That's my hope now. Is like, I want, like, this on the PS4 and Xbox One as a full blown fighting game, because for several reasons, it's more entertaining than on, like, the concept is better suited to a video game than, like, I think what the 2K games have become. And another thing that's kind of interesting about it is it kind of puts the superstars and divas on more even ground with each other, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, so I don't know how much I'm actually going to play it. The playing's not fun. Really, it was just fun to open the app and look at the cards for all the characters and be like, oh, that's funny. John Cena is a superhero. Right.
You know what kind of reminds me of? Remember WWE Crush Hour? The Twisted Metal clone that they made for GameCube. And, like, the conceit of that was that Vince McMahon bought every cable network in existence, and he had to fill up all this programming, so he just got all the wrestlers to put him in a death derby.
See, that's the stuff that WWE needs to do more of, I think.
More ridiculous. What else you play?
What else did I play? I played more Dragon Age.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
Ooh, you did.
Yes.
Man, you can't be very far in that. You still in Haven?
I'm about to leave the Hinterlands. I'm going to try it and see what happens. Like,
yeah, you should.
You do get to go back, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, see.
That was my first thing, too. Was, like, my first 10 hours, I was just roaming around the Hinterlands.
Yeah, you're like, oh, God, these quests, I have to do them all.
It's ridiculous.
But I'm, like, level 5, and there's, like, level 12 guys. I'm like, how long am I supposed to be here for?
I
fired up Titanfall the other day. Yeah, that was fun.
We're playing a lot of Dragon Age. I played Dragon Age during the day when I can. I play Warcraft when I'm supposed to.
I played the closed beta, which it now is, for Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah.
They added a new map that I haven't gotten to play yet, and Thrall as a hero. And I like the way he plays. He's like a melee striker with a little bit of range to him.
Did you play the Evolve beta yet?
Not yet. I downloaded it yesterday. Haven't played it yet.
Is that what we're doing after this?
Maybe. I have to wake up at like 5:30 tomorrow morning for something dumb.
You said
that's
what we were going
to
do. I was just saying that for small talk on the show. You promised we would play Evolve.
Yeah, and then I forgot that I have
to
wake up
super early. We're going to play a match of Evolve.
We'll play a match of Evolve.
All right, good. All right, yeah, I've just been playing, I play Pokemon at nights, too, or when I'm waiting at the freaking Jeep dealership.
Well, I was gonna yesterday fire up my 7-day trial for PlayStation Now, and I forgot, like, there was, like, all-day scheduled maintenance of the PlayStation Network, and I was like, why did they do this the week they released a 7-day trial? Because you lost a day on your trial.
Right.
So I'm glad I didn't start it yet.
Well, is there anything else you would like to say?
No, anything good coming out this week?
No, not really. Mario Galaxy 2 is the best thing to come out. I mean, Mario Galaxy 2? You played it.
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic.
Game.
I'll tell you what. I'll say it. I know people like Super Mario 3D World and the Wii U, and it's a fine game. But I played the first level in Mario Galaxy 2 where you get the B power up. Yeah. And man, like, it makes Mario 3D World look like a thing a child made. Like, it's just so good.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, again, not no disrespect to 3D World, but I just don't think it can match the... There's a quality to the Galaxy games that is just downright majestic to me.
Uh-huh.
That you can't really beat very easily. It's like, you know, with the Mario 3D World thing was very much, let's just go back to usual Mario shtick with the design philosophy, whereas Galaxy was, like, just crazy. I loved it.
Yep.
All right, then. Well, thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Be sure to go to iTunes Music Store. You can find all of our old episodes. You can leave us a review. We always appreciate that. Go to squadronshame.com. Check everything out there. And we'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye-bye.